Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Today I want to talk to you about a prayer we must pray that will keep us strong and formidable in God. It's the very purpose of God, and it's very simply, God, bring your salvation. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49, and we'll look at verses 1 through 6. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." Verse 6. He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Before this day being St. Patrick's Day, happy St. Patrick's Day, I do see a lot of green, but I also see some people not wearing green. I think half the worship team wasn't wearing green, so pinch them. That's right. I'm in green, so I'm good. So keep your hands to yourself. But before we think about the official start of spring in 2 days, I know I'm excited about that. Before we think about this week or next week being spring break, before we think about March Madness, by the way, congratulations to the Oregon Ducks men's basketball team. They won the Pac-12 championship last night. I caught the last half of the game. They beat Colorado in Las Vegas, and now they're in the tournament, which is exciting. Hopefully they can go far in the tournament. But before we can even think about this being March Madness season, today's the fifth Sunday of Lent. And Lent is that very important season in our lives as Christians and in the life of the church where we think about the sacrifice and suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to meditate, especially during this time of year, with Good Friday, you know, less than 2 weeks away, and Easter Sunday, 2 weeks away. This is that time, that incredibly crucial time in the life and the rhythm of the church where we think about the suffering and the sacrifice of Christ, the purpose of which is to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. For there is no salvation without suffering. There is no resurrection without death. There is no heaven without hell. That's why we read in Scripture and in the Apostles' Creed that he descended to hell. He went to hell for us on our behalf so we wouldn't have to. He died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. All that Christ endured on our behalf was to see God's plan of salvation being fulfilled all across this world. Jesus came to bring salvation. He came to set us free from sin. He came to set us free from evil, the snares of the devil. He came to set us free from carnality. He came to set us free from ourselves. And so Jesus came to deliver us from our sin so that no longer we control our lives, but that He live through us. Until we die to self, until we die to our own sin, we are susceptible to evil, devil, carnality, the lusts of the flesh, the ways of this world. 1 John 5:19 tells us that the whole world is under the control or the influence of the evil one. The whole world is under the control or the influence of the evil one. We need to be set free from that influence because we know that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. If you've been following what's happening in Congress, all of our senators and congresspeople, most of them, want to eliminate TikTok, you know, the app. I don't use TikTok. I've never used TikTok. It's not on my phone. Some of you do. My top two apps that I really use are Facebook and Candy Crush. So they better not mess with Candy Crush. Don't take away my Candy Crush, all right? You can take away TikTok, but don't mess with my Candy Crush. But apparently, those who know much more about this than I do, TikTok is owned by a Chinese company. And apparently, if you download TikTok on your phone, somehow the Chinese government can spy on you. And our congressmen and women have concluded that the Chinese government is using all that information and the algorithms on your phone to influence Americans. Influence, you know, how we think and what we purchase and in more sinister ways politically. And if you think that we are not susceptible to influence, think again. I mean, every time, you know, I'm scrolling through my social media feed and a ad for Doritos pops up, I'm in the mood for Doritos, okay? We have to admit we are easily susceptible. Now, whether or not TikTok has that influence, I don't know. We'll leave it up to the experts. The point is, by human nature, we are susceptible. And we have to be aware of that which can creep in and deceive us. And the Bible teaches in 1 John 5:19 and in other places that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And we need to be delivered and saved and set free from that demonic influence. A person who is saved is saved and becomes under the influence, not of the evil one anymore, but a person who is saved by the power of Jesus Christ is now becoming influenced by God's Word, God's Holy Spirit, and God's plan of salvation. That's why this prayer is so important. Lord, bring your salvation. No longer do I want to be influenced by my desires or the influence of the enemy or anyone else's influence. I need to be saved and delivered and set free to be influenced by your word, by your Holy Spirit that desires to dwell within me and have control of me. And I want to be motivated by your plan of salvation to bring redemption to the ends of the earth. This passage we read in Isaiah 49 is one of the four servant songs of Isaiah. These are the four servant songs of Isaiah. I already read to you the second one from Isaiah 49. If you don't mind, I'm going to read the other passages to you. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you today. Because I want for us to not be influenced by the enemy, obviously, the evil one. Plus, we're already influenced enough by social media and media in general. We need to be influenced by the power of God's Word and His plan to save us, to set us free, and to keep us on the path that we need to be. So let's look at the first one, Isaiah 42. And these are great verses to meditate on, especially during this season of Lent, because these songs, specifically these four servant songs in Isaiah, celebrate the sacrificial life of the righteous Messiah who brings about the salvation or redemption of the world. And so as we focus on what Christ did on the cross, let's saturate our minds with who the Messiah is and what he's about and why he came to save us. Lord, bring your salvation. So Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. I've read to you from Isaiah 49. Let's look at Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 11. Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 11. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, awakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, because the sovereign Lord helps me. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of the Lord? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all you who are light, fires and provide yourself with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. And finally, let's look at probably what is the most famous of the servant songs of Isaiah. Isaiah 52, beginning at verse 13. This one's a little bit longer, but let's meditate on the suffering of the Lord, whose purpose it is to bring about our salvation, all that he had to endure, because remember, there is no salvation without suffering. Isaiah 52, beginning at verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised up and lifted and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, or save many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The servant songs of Isaiah. Lord, bring your salvation. Christ gave his life so that salvation could be experienced to people to the ends of the earth. What is salvation? Here's some thoughts about what it means to be saved. When we go to earnestly pray, not only for our own salvation or for the salvation of our family or friends, as we seek to be intercessors, intercessory means I'm just going to pray that people who are not yet saved will become saved. And so here are just some thoughts on what is salvation. Salvation is being born again. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Not physically, but by the Spirit of God. New birth in God. Salvation is redemption from a state of spiritual lostness. Without God's salvation, we are wandering. We are lost, and we are walking closer and closer to that cliff that if our eyes are not opened, we will just walk right over that cliff. We need to be saved. Once we were blind, now we see deliverance from sin and its consequences through faith in Jesus Christ. The old is gone and the new is here. The Apostle Paul so wonderfully said, "For if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation." Amen. The old you is gone, and the new has come. To be saved is to move from death to life. To be saved is to go from being an enemy to God to being a friend with God. To experience God's salvation is to go from warring with others and fighting with others and living in contentiousness with others too, living in peace. To be saved is to move from being an agent of destruction to becoming an agent of grace. To be saved is to move from being selfish. Remember, you can't spell sin without I. To be saved is to move from being selfish to being a servant. To be saved is to move from hate to love. Got some verses I want to share with you. You can look up some of those verses for yourself. I don't know if I'll read all of them. Let me go down to the very last one, 1 Timothy. If you're looking for scripture verses to meditate on during Lent, I would encourage you to meditate on these verses. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 69, verse 13. Isaiah 51:8, Matthew 1:21, Luke 19:10, John 3:17, Acts 2:21, Acts 4:12, Romans 1:6, Galatians 3:13 and 14, all great verses on God's plan, His desire, His will that people be saved. But let's look at the 1 Timothy 1:15 verse. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Lord, bring your salvation. All of us have sinned. All of us have gone astray. We can't save ourselves. You can't save me. I can't save you. Jesus Christ is the author of our salvation. Well, how can I be saved? Look at Romans 10:9. How can I be saved? If Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, how can I be saved? Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Lord, bring your salvation. Bring your salvation to Lane County, that people would repent of their sin, see what Jesus Christ has done for them, confess the Lord Jesus, and believe in their heart, and they will be saved. How can I stay saved? How can I remain saved? Look at 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light... So the inference here is that we are done with the deeds of darkness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I find that interesting that fellowship in God's church is the indication, an important indication, that we are saved. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Lord, bring your salvation. It is the very heart of God that every human being be saved. Today is St. Patrick's Day. If your social media feed is anything like mine, you have friends posting snippets of his prayer. St. Patrick was a very devout religious man in the 5th century. What I want to do to close today, so I want to read his full prayer, because his full prayer is all about the need to be saved. The need to know that he is living in the grace of God, that he is protected by God. And so buckle your seatbelt, because it's quite a prayer. But this is one of the reasons why St. Patrick was a formidable man of God. He was a man of prayer. And his life lived it out, and here we are talking about him however many centuries later, although much like St. Nicholas, who was a real man of God, a lot of the godliness of these men has been shrouded in the frivolity of what we have made it to become. But this is the prayer of St. Patrick, and his prayer to be firmly rooted in the salvation of God. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth and his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion and his burial, through the strength of his resurrection and his ascension. Through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom, I arise today through the strength of the love of cherubim, in obedience of angels, in service of archangels, in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, in preachings of the apostles, in faith of confessors, in innocence of virgins, in deeds of righteous men, I arise today through the strength of heaven, light of the sun, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of the wind, depth of the sea, stability of the earth, firmness of the rock, I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's hosts to save me from snares of the devil, from temptations of vices, from everyone who desires me ill, afar and anear, alone or in multitude, I summon today all these powers between me and evil, against every cruel, merciless power that opposes my body and soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against false laws of heretics, against craft of idolatry, against spells of women and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul. Christ, shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that reward may come to me in abundance. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my side, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Amen.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.